welcome everybody. It's time again for another episode of Confident ROI, the one show you can confidently listen to and expect a real return on your investment. Whether you work in a business, work on a business, or work with other businesses, from the man who's done all three, it's Alex Vorobyev. Hey, Alex.
Hello, Paul.
This is mind-boggling to me. I'm trying to wrap my head around what's happening here today. I feel like I'm in some sort of space-time continuum. Alex is up on the Northern Front patrolling the Canadian border, and your guest is what? Here in the studio with us?
It's the modern day. It's the modern day show.
That's it. Connecting people throughout the world here.
Exactly.
So where are you exactly? You don't look like you're where you normally are. We can see each other by Skype here. I don't recognize that picture.
A special day. Actually, I have my daughter with me today.
Ah.
And we are at a Regis in Boise. And Regis helps me do the show from all over the place.
Shout out to Regis here, future sponsor of the show. Okay.
Yes, a future sponsor of the show. And so we're getting ready. We're going rafting down the Boise River today after the show.
See, you had to throw that in there. You couldn't just say we're going to have a father-daughter. You just got to stick it in a little bit here. I'm going to be trying to navigate the 405 in a few hours here. So the freeway, it feels like a raging river. Actually, it feels like a muddy swamp most of the time. It hardly moves.
It's a concrete swamp, right?
So give us some idea of your guest here. He got here early. He's eager. He shook my hand, practically tore my hand off this morning. He's such a strong, powerful handshaker here.
Well, he's going to be talking. Our guest today is Tyrone French, and he's a financial services expert. He's been in the industry for 28 years. And he's going to help us with what's keeping a lot of people up at night. I was preparing for the show today, and I think Google knew I was preparing for the show, so it put up some articles I thought I might like.
There you go.
It said, stressed about money, it's keeping Americans up at night.
I'm sorry to admit this is probably too much information, but my wife and I were just having an argument about this last night. And she's like, I'm so tired of you worrying about money and talking about money. I said, it's the only thing that keeps me awake at night these days. I'm in my 60s. We're lucky us. We're going to live to be the longest generation in history. How the hell am I going to pay for all this stuff into the 90s and beyond here?
Well, you are not alone amongst your baby boomer compadres.
Yeah.
Something I'm getting the look from my daughter. I've never done the show with the live audience there.
Yeah, okay.
I think the head just went in the hands too.
So. Oh, that's always a good sign.
Yeah, money is the top reason 39% for younger baby boomers, Paul.
Yeah,
keep you tossing and turning at night.
Well, again, because we, lucky me, I'm going to live to be, as a group, we're going to be the longest lived generation in history, human history. Nobody's ever lived as long as we're going to live. And yet, most of us have, what, $50,000 saved and no pension to look forward to? That's a scary future.
So we have different, there's different challenges to each generation. You could have been an earlier generation. You could have been dead from a war. So
yeah, right. Well, yeah, exactly.
Or a plague. So
yeah, exactly.
There's upsides and downsides to everything.
Yeah. So the good news is we're going to live longer. The bad news is we didn't know it. We're not ready for it here. So,
well, the good news is we have a guest today. Yeah, and we introduced him already as Tyrone French, but he's the author of the book called Closing the Wealth Gap. So, Paul, this is for you. This is for small business owners.
I love it.
As well as leaders. We're going to talk about what people can do to close the wealth gap, not only for themselves, but for the people within their company.
Well,
and he's a financial trainer. So I designed this show just for you,
Paul. It's all about me. I really appreciate it. Well, thank you. Welcome, Tyrone. I'm going to let you guys go, and I'm going to take notes.
Morning, Tyrone.
Morning, Alex. How are you, buddy?
We're doing great here.
Great.
It's always nice when I can get on and kind of stick it to Paul a little bit. You know, that's what makes radio work. You know, as a kid, I listened to a lot of talk radio that I shouldn't have, but you know, now I'm using all that, and it's a lot of fun. But welcome, Tyrone. Why don't you? Your purpose is to help people acquire perpetual income, build financial security, and create generational wealth. And you got your book about closing the wealth gap. Can you Can you explain that? What does that mean?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me this morning. I really appreciate being here and the opportunity to actually talk about a subject that's very near and dear to a lot of people's hearts. And closing the wealth gap was something that, you know, it took me about 10 years to actually create, because I really didn't want to put another how-to book on the market. You know, there's a lot of those. And if you look at the numbers, you'll find that, you know, a lot of stuff that people thought were, you know, ironclad or, you know, paved in gold just didn't pan out.
Tyrone, such as what? What were some of those kind of assumptions or conventional wisdom?
Well, we were taught that the 401k was our ticket to retirement, and Social Security was something that was like a parachute to whereas we can really rely on as a secondary source of income. And so if you look at the 401k now, they're very, very volatile based on the stock market. They're loaded with a lot of fees. And then when you start using it, the money, you get hit with a tax consequence. So really? it's a trifecta of not really having the right plan or system in place that you can actually rely on. Plus, it's a depleting asset. Once you start using that 401k, it begins to diminish. And then there's what's called a required minimum distribution, whereas let's say you decide, because a lot of people look, they have a 401k statement and they like to look at it. They like to see their nest egg. But the problem is they're not using that money. And so they're not doing what the thing was designed to do, was to help them based on their lifestyle and standard of living. So you have a required minimum distribution at age 70 and a half, to whereas you have to start pulling that money out. Uncle Sam wants his money. So a lot of people thought they were going to be in lower tax brackets when they got a little bit older, and they find out they're in a much higher tax bracket. So guess what? They got to pay more taxes.
You covered a lot there, Tyrone. When you said fees, you know, a lot of times you're talking about people like to look at their statement. A lot of times those fees aren't on there on the 401k, you know, how much the fees are. Can you give people some understanding of what the fees are that they're paying that they may or may not be seeing?
Well, it's the management fees. And that's a great point, because what's happening is that they'll look at their balance, but because of the fees that are being generated on those accounts, that actually helps to stymie that balance, meaning that it's not growing. So it's the fees is actually acting like another tax, if you will, based on income that's not there. And so we use that term fee, and a lot of people understand that term, but they don't know how that fee is actually impacting their asset. It stops the growth. And if the growth is not there, it's not going to produce anything.
And how can people find out what their fees are? Is there any way they can do that? I mean, I think Wall Street's pretty good at hiding the fee. I mean, sometimes there can be like multiple fees just for one fund. Is that fair?
Well, it's almost like it's like a credit card statement, and the fees are associated on that statement. But if you don't know how to read that statement, it's like reading Mandarin. And so a lot of times a lot of people can't interpret those statements. So my suggestion is that you call. Call.
And what would you ask?
Well, basically, just like any other question, what type of fees are associated with my account? And you may have to go through three or four people in order to get the right person that's going to actually explain to you what those fees are.
Okay. And so, you know, you brought up the 401k isn't really doing what it's thought. You know, there's a lot of business owners listening to podcasts and business leaders, and they have 401k set up. Are you saying the conventional wisdom of 401k is not helping, is not delivering the intended benefits for people within a company?
What it's not doing is that long-term compounding. See, it's the compound effect to investments that actually makes it grow. And so compounding, sometimes it takes time. So with compounding, what you want a lower interest rate or low fees and maximum input. If you know, if you don't have a low, if you got a low interest rate, meaning that that interest rate is determining how fast it's going to grow. But it's offset, like you said, you got both sides. So based on the fees can actually be a detriment to the interest rate. So then you have to add another variable, which is time. So those three components are what people really need to look at based on their asset and what the output of that asset is going to be long term. So you want long term compounding. If you don't have a high interest rate, then you need to make sure that you have time and low fees to make sure that you get the output that you're looking for. It's a cause and effect relationship.
Yeah, Tyrone, maybe we can you give an example sometimes, hey, what type of gross returns you might be seeing on a bond fund or an equity fund? And then what are some of those fees and how much do the fees eat up in the earnings? Can you give like some examples of anything you've seen people getting charged and they didn't realize it?
Well, I put it to you like this. I don't have a Series 7 or a Series 6 or a 63. I work with New York Life Insurance Company. I started back in 1990. And one of the reasons why I chose not to do that was because of, you know, as far as being, it's very, very difficult to determine those fees. So what I decided to do was take an alternate route and look at things that were wealth on autopilot, which were life insurance and annuities. See, sometimes you don't, if you're not really, if you're taking a class, you're in college or you're in high school, and you really don't have an aptitude for calculus or quadratic equations, maybe you need to steer clear of that class. And so, you know, a lot of times the basics will do with the arithmetic, adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing. And so when you have those simplified investments that you can actually determine by looking at a statement where to add, subtract, multiply, and divide, a lot of times that's pretty much the investment that you need to stick with. You need to understand where your money is going and how it's growing, how it's producing. And a lot of times people, they don't have that knowledge or that education, so they're relying on somebody else to tell them this is how it's going to perform. And a lot of times their motivation is not really geared towards your longevity, but towards their bottom line, if that makes sense.
Sure. But Tyrone, you know, a lot of Wall Street and people who want you to invest in index funds and that have said, hey, life insurance, you just use that in case you have a heart attack in your 30s or your 40s, you use term life and annuities are never a good investment, is the common conventional wisdom. How do you see them as wealth building tools and why?
That's a great question. See, years ago, even before the Great Depression, a lot of people saved their money in life insurance products. And it was the life insurance industry and the people that had life insurance that actually fared well during the Depression years. Even Walt Disney, when he first built Disneyland, borrowed money from his life insurance policy. So life insurance.
That's a cool story. I didn't know that.
Yes. Google it.
And so that's a whole life versus a term policy.
It's a whole life versus a term. Now, term insurance, let's say if somebody, they're just starting out, they have a family, they're young, their income is, you know, it's not where it should be. They may have young kids. Then term insurance is something that would be great for that situation, because if you're dependent on two incomes or even one income and you lose those income sources, but you got young kids, then you need an influx of cash that's going to actually keep that financial situation going until maybe those kids become of age to where they can start working and producing income themselves. Whole life insurance, and it's whole life has evolved, meaning that now people are actually using their life insurance policies as a tool for retirement. And let's say they get to the point where there's a terminal illness or something like that, they can actually use a portion of that death benefit while they're still alive. It's called a living benefit. So again, people should do their due diligence and not really just, you know, go off the surface of what they've heard, even what they've heard maybe 5 or 10 years ago, because everything is really evolving. These products are really, really starting to come into the mainstream. That's solving a lot of different problems for a lot of different people that never thought that these products will actually do what they're doing.
So, Tyrone, so from my perspective, term is you're basically, you're paying, in case I die, there's a benefit, $1 million benefit to my family. I always worry about when I'm worth more dead than alive. You should too, Paul. And so that, you know, is kind of, you're renting that protection, but it ends at a certain time.
Exactly.
At a certain age.
Exactly.
And can you explain what whole life is? Because that's kind of it, that product has been, it hasn't been, it kind of, term life gained a lot of popularity. It seems like whole life's coming back. And what is it?
Well, you use the analogy as far as term insurance is like renting. Well, then whole life insurance would be like owning. It's like having a mortgage payment. And so just like maybe you have a property, and that property is this equity that's growing in that property. Whole life insurance works on the same premise, but they call it, instead of calling it equity, it's called cash value. And that cash value is a return of premium, and it's also the interest that's accruing inside of that policy. So with those two components, a lot of times what they're doing is they're creating alternate or smaller life insurance policies within that contract. So you could have started out with a death benefit at a certain dollar amount and end up with a death benefit that is just ballooned just because of that process. And again, you know, people should do their due diligence and find out exactly with a qualified representative how these products actually work. When they're done right, they're phenomenal. They're a hedge against inflation. And my philosophy is that you should be worth more dead than alive. If you look at a lot of the, Elvis Presley, for one, Graceland is worth more now than it's ever been. So
it's worked out well for Priscilla.
Yes. Yes.
So the mechanics of it, you know, a lot of people I don't think understand the mechanics of whole life. You know, you said you're making a payment. And so what does the insurance company do with that money? Well, how does it balloon?
Well, again, just like any other, life insurance, you kind of look at it like it's a co-op, and you have a lot of people paying a specific premium based on their specific individual situation. So in that co-op, they're making these premium payments. Well, those payments are actually being managed by the insurance company through different vehicles, and every insurance company is different. But, you know, some insurance companies will invest in real estate. They'll invest in bonds. They'll invest in things that are very conservative, because insurance companies have to have that money under asset. Meaning that when they sell that life insurance policy, and let's just assume that it's $50,000, they have to have that $50,000 in reserve to pay that premium. So they invest in very conservative products, whereas knowing that there's going to be a conservative return on that, but also making sure that money is there for that policyholder during their time of need.
Yeah, I recently went through the process. I'm getting to that point where I'm starting to have term life insurance expire that I've had for 20 years, and I went through the process and on the whole life, and I noticed there's a difference in premiums in that from the different companies that were offering it. What should someone look for when they're trying to compare whether or not to go with one whole life provider or another?
Well, one of the things that's really key is really how long has the company been in business? You want to also make sure, that the management of the company, once you get that illustration, you want to take a look at the guaranteed values versus the illustrated value. And again, just based on your situation of having a 20-year term life insurance policy, you want to make sure that policy is convertible at the end of that 20-year period, meaning that you can convert a term life insurance policy to a permanent or whole life insurance policy. And permanent can also mean universal life. But to convert that policy into a cash value policy at any step of the game, to whereas now you're not looking at that policy terminating in 20 years, it actually can actually produce or remain in force for your whole entire life. And also with the cash value, which a lot of people don't really understand that mechanism, but that cash value can actually keep that policy going, and you're not having to pay any premiums on the policy.
And any companies right now that they're kind of on the watch list in terms of financial viability that you'd warn people of? Because sometimes they're the most aggressive in trying to get premiums. So any ones that you could share with our audience so that they don't get a negative ROI on their
One thing I would do is reassure people, again, do your homework. But just one thing to note is that when insurance companies, they have safe, for lack of a better word, they have fail safes. To whereas, let's say if an insurance company did go out of business, well, the other insurance companies will actually come in, step in, and take over that book of business. So a lot of times you'll actually have insurance. You'll start out with one insurance company or one policy. And all of a sudden, you know, the name of the company has changed. But you still have your life insurance. And that premium is still is still the same. So.
Okay. All right. Well, we're coming up on the break. And on the backside, after the break, let's talk about what a business owner can do to build generational wealth, not only for themselves, but also the people within their company.
Outstanding. Yes.
All right. While we're taking a breather here to digest all this, let me remind you that there is a written digest that you can also consume each and every week. It's called Confident ROI Magazine. Yes, there's a magazine companion to the radio show, something you can look to and refer over and over again to get articles like Dr. Brad Smart, Top Grading, or Vern Harnish on strategy. All the latest and greatest thought leaders and the tools and tips and how to use them to take your business to the next level. All of that and more can be found at the new Confident ROI magazine, the companion to the radio show, ConfidentROI.com. Hey, can I ask you guys a question? Is it true that generational wealth usually evaporates by the third generation? I hope you talk about it, because we're putting so much effort into creating generational wealth, not just wealth I can use to sustain my life, but my children and grandchildren. And yet so often in the course of things, it seems like by the third generation, they piss it away, they blow it, they do something, they consume it, whatever. It doesn't seem to last very long. Is that true? And if so, what can we do about it?
Actually, that is true, and that's a great point. And it goes back to a lot of families that are actually focused on generational wealth and not just accumulating assets have certain things in place to whereas, you know, attorneys, advisors, to whereas they're actually educating the next generation as to, you know, how to preserve those assets and how to make those assets work, how to make them grow. And again, the emphasis is using wealth during your lifetime and passing it on to the next generation. And that really is a mindset, to where some people think they have that wealth and it's there to accommodate them and to help them to have the lifestyle that they actually want, instead of, again, having the mindset and the vision of you're using a portion of that to, and the remainder is to pass down to the next generation.
Hey, Tyrone, sure. So is it what you're saying there is that education is really important?
Absolutely.
On that?
It's key. It's foundation.
And what are there any books you recommend? Obviously, you got your book. And how does your book talk about that? And there are other books that you'd recommend to people, depending on, you know, how to educate people on maintaining the wealth?
Well, in my book, Closing the Wealth Gap, there's a subtitle, and it's I help people to acquire perpetual income, which is residual income. I help people to build financial security, and I help them to create generational wealth. And so what I found is that the simple approach, meaning that what you want to do is you want to get people started. You know, a lot of times people, they put so much preparation and so much time into trying to get going just to start. But what you want to do is you want to get them off that dime and get them going. So the first thing that people really want to take a look at is life insurance, especially if you have a family, you know. But with generational wealth, and it's an author called Robert Kiyosaki. I don't know if your viewers are familiar with him, but he wrote this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it's a common sense approach. It's so basic. It's so simplistic that I recommend that book to not just, you know, people that are seniors that are thinking about longevity, and but kids that are just starting out and maybe in middle school or even in high school, to read that book. And the second book was The Cashflow Quadrant. And what it said was basically, you have, you know, it's about cash flow. And the poor has a certain mindset about cash flow. The middle class have a certain mindset about cash flow. And the rich have a certain mind about cash flow. And what you want to get to the point to, whereas you actually, your mindset is to accumulate income producing assets. And what I found in my experience over 28 years is that there's really two types of income-producing assets. Either you're an income-producing asset, or you've created an income-producing asset for someone else. But that's really that's the bottom line.
Sure. Okay. That's those are helpful there, and I've heard a lot about both those books, and I'm going to pick those up. Now you go out and you're helping business owners to build perpetual income. What, and you're talking about that first step, and is there something that really resonates that you've seen the light bulb go off with business owners in terms of, hey, I mean, a lot of times they're busy with their business and it's tough to shift focus on that. But what really gets a business owner focused on the importance of building this perpetual income?
That's a great question. And a lot of times when I'm speaking with a business owner, I get pretty much the same response. They'll either look up in this, when I make this point, they'll either look up in the sky or they'll sit back in their chair and they'll ponder for a second. And the issue is, why are you in business? What is the function of your business? Because a lot of business owners have actually created a job for themselves. So they don't have an income-producing asset. They are the income-producing asset. So if they take themselves out of the business equation, their income stops. So what they want to do is refocus as to really making that business an income-producing engine, to whereas whether they're there or not, that business will continue to grow and to thrive. And what a lot of business owners initially, they accumulate a lot of debt just to get the business going, but they have very little life insurance, to whereas if something were to happen to them, guess what? All of that debt rolls right back to their family. If they're not structured properly, it'll roll right back to their family. And then long term, as far as keeping the best people, because, you know, you really don't understand that term, finding good people. It's hard to find good people until you're actually trying to find good people and interject them into a system. And so you have to give them certain incentives to want to be there and want to stay there. And for me, what I found is that life insurance is one of the best incentives, especially for the employee and the business owner, in a capacity called a key man life insurance policy, where you can actually use that for retirement, and the business owner can actually, which owns the policy, can use that cash flow as another capital source.
So, but how does a key man policy work?
Well, basically what you're doing is you're taking, let's say one of the executives in the company, and the executive could be the business owner. And what you're doing is you're insuring that executive or that business owner for a certain dollar amount of life insurance. And so if something were to happen to that executive, would that keep, let's say if that executive was responsible for creating maybe 50% of your revenue stream, and all of a sudden that executive is no longer here, it's going to take you time to replace that person. So what that life insurance policy would do is actually infuse that business with the capital that they need to actually replace that individual. Now, if nothing happens to that individual, there's no premature death or anything, then actually the family, the person can actually have that life insurance policy and use it as a secondary source of retirement income. And when that person passes away, it will provide a tax-free income tax-free death benefit to the beneficiary of the policy.
And so, So the you got a key person within the company, you get a policy on them, they're going to be the beneficiaries of it, or of if something were to happen?
Well, the key person is going to be the insured. The beneficiary could actually be twofold. It could actually be the business owner, and it could be the spouse or a relative of the key person.
Okay. And so worst case, so they're getting a benefit. Is it taxed initially to that key employee?
Well, it depends on the structure. It depends on how you structure that policy. So it varies differently. Every situation is different, but mm-hmm. you want to set up. My thing is being able to set up to where it's income tax free, and so if the owner owns the policy, or the business owner actually owns that policy, what they sometimes do is they'll extend a salary, an additional salary, to the employer, to whereas if the employer wants to own the policy, then the employer, if the employee wants to own the policy, then the employer will actually pay for it with an additional salary to pay those okay. premiums. So like I said, it varies from case to case, but there are ways to whereas you can set up to whereas it's income tax free as an expense to the business owner, or the actual employee is not paying for the premiums out of their pocket, it's coming from the company. Okay. So, yeah, you want to sit down and talk to a qualified representative that actually knows how to structure those policies for that particular situation.
I'm assuming that would be you?
Yes.
We'll get your information out in show notes as well at the end. But so you go in, let's say you're talking with a business owner and you're talking about what he can do to build his generational wealth. What can they do? But they're also, hey, how do I build the wealth of the people working for me so that they don't feel like they have to leave in order to realize that? Are you telling them to? Is a 401k kind of a myth that it works as well as it's supposed to? I mean, it seems like they're more and more. The government wants to have automatic enrollment because people aren't enrolling in it and they aren't making consistent contributions. So one is, are the 401ks, are they working or not working? And then if they're not, what are you suggesting to people?
Well, a few years back, Time Magazine wrote an article, and people can Google this. It's not Tyrone French saying this, but they wrote an article called Why It's Time to Retire the 401k. I thought that was a really good, it's a really good article if you have a 401k, just to check it out and Google it. But again, what they found is that they're not people that are, the average 401k account has about $27,000 in it. And what they're finding is that a lot of people, that's just not enough money to live off of. And they're just not producing the returns that a lot of people anticipated. And so again, once you start using the 401k, it immediately turns into an asset that's being depleted. And then it's subject to market volatility. It's subject to taxes. It's subject to fees. So the alternative, and when we talk about small business owners, a lot of times people are talking about they assume that you're talking about a brick and mortar business where it may be a business owner that has maybe 50 employees and stuff. But what you're finding right now in the marketplace is that a lot of people, they work from home. And they have small businesses set up as far part-time. So they have a full-time job, but they have a part-time business because they know that part-time business is where they can actually have the greater returns as far as their wealth and for their time equity. So a lot of times in today's economy, when you're talking about a business, it could be just one person. And then that's actually employing or actually having their family members to help them in the business. So when you're doing financial planning now, you really need to structure to whereas just making sure that when you're talking about a business owner, you may just be talking about one person. And that one person is actually based on how they're structured, whether it's a sole proprietorship or a C-Corp or an S-Corp or LLC. They need to have certain things in place that's going to make sure that they don't leave that financial obligation or those responsibilities to their loved ones.
Right. And so you're not wanting to leave the loved ones. You're concerned that the 401k doesn't deliver return for the company or for the employees. What can a business owner do? Can they educate their employees on what they can do for their financial security? What's out there that they can do besides ignoring it? Because that seems to be kind of the common course is let's just ignore the elephant in the room that seems that the evidence shows up, builds up, people start to worry about it. What can a company do? What can you do to help these companies?
Well, the companies need to take a look at, offering alternatives to what they've been doing for years that just hasn't been working. So that to have another voice come in and say, hey, look, because you're right. There are good sides and bad sides to everything. There's two sides to every coin. But to give people the choice so that they can make an intelligent decision based on the information that they've acquired that's specifically geared towards their situation. And a lot of times it's like going shopping and everybody wants to go into a store and they find themselves in a big and tall store, but they're not big and tall. And so they end up shopping off the rack and they get the shirt and they get the pants and they get the shoes and they're walking out and it's just three or four sizes too big and they look ridiculous. But when you look at somebody's financial picture, a lot of times they're situated the same way. It's just nobody commenting on it. Until somebody sit down and say, hey, look, there's another store. There's another alternative that has your size. And then they begin to get the compliments or the results that they're looking for, which is their economy, which is their budget. You get feedback every single day. Your life is telling you whether or not something is working. And people need to start listening to those cues and doing it at an early enough period of time to whereas they can make those corrections. What's happening is that people, they're ignoring the cues. They're ignoring the signs, and then they find themselves in a situation where it's almost too late for that correction. And so, again, going back to that 401k, a lot of families, they suffer because when the person that had the 401k, when they passed away and it went to the family, well, now that family member has to pay those taxes. And if they're not accustomed to they receive the income, but now at the end of the year, they got a tax bill that they have to deal with. So now it could open up a whole new can of worms. So a lot of times you just got to find people that's looking for something specific for their situation, and you give them all the variables and let them, based on those choices, let them make the decision what's best for themselves and for their families.
And what are some of those? You mentioned alternatives. What are some of those alternatives?
Well, one thing that's really, really unconventional is more people need to really take a look at, starting their own business. I mean, and people know it. The fastest way of accumulating wealth is by having your own business. And you don't have to do it on a full-time basis, but, at least, on a part-time basis, work on your fortune. Keep your full-time job, but educate yourself, work on your fortune, and eventually, if you're doing it right and you're following systems, you will end up producing the result that you're looking for. And so now that part-time business that you set up now becomes your full-time income-producing asset.
Well, and one of the things people don't realize is we're all entrepreneurs.
Yes.
Some of us just have one client.
Yes.
And we go to the office of that client every day.
Yes.
But it's the same thing. You have a customer.
Yes.
And one of the things people can do, and especially early in the career, is understand you want to make more money, you have to provide more value.
Exactly.
And if they look at it that way, they don't have to necessarily leave the company, but what could they provide this customer more value that they would want to compensate them more so that they don't leave?
Absolutely. But Alex, it's a mindset. It's a mindset. And you have to break out of that mold to get a different perspective as to how other people are actually accomplishing their individual goals. And that that comes in, you know, educating yourself and knowledge, and actually sometimes putting yourself in a position. It would be advantageous for some people to just start going to seminars, you know, going to workshops in your spare time. You know, it's not that we don't have the time; it's just we mismanage the time that we have. So start, you know, really take a look at your
speaking of time. Paul's got me on. He's got me on a time clock here. You mentioned systems. We're going to talk about systems and time on the other side.
Okay. Outstanding. Great.
Yes, indeed. We got to stick to the time schedule here. And it's time to tell you that if you are trying to decide what business tool or concept to implement to advance your company, then there's a place to go. It's Confident ROI, on which you can say, ask Verobia. Just looking for some tools to take your business to the next level or figure out how to use those tools better? Ask Verobia. Finding some good partners to work with, like our guest today? Ask Verobia. Alex Verobia was the first business advisor to focus on doing all this, to help companies like yours find unique solutions and how to put them into place. So if you want to transform your company, why not ask Verobia? It's simple. Just go to confidentroi.com and hit that Hey Verobia button. There's all sorts of free books there. I think there's a whole bunch of them you can download and get. And it's simple. Or if you're old school like me, just pick up the phone. Yes, there is a phone. You can call and give him a shout and find out more. 949-478-0042. 949-478-0042. Got a question? Ask Verobia. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Ask Verobia. I know you want to talk about systems and tools here, but you did say the show's all about me here, so I want to take advantage of that free opportunity here. I'm 62. I'm looking ahead at not enough assets to produce income, and people keep saying, how about an annuity? And I know those were hot for a while, and then they went out of fashion. They didn't pay enough, or other things were better. And I don't know, are they back in fashion? And the other sub-question that is, what about using an annuity to fund long-term health care? I have a 94-year-old aunt. She wishes she had some long-term health care insurance to pay for her assisted living facility. You know, so talk about those, if you would, for a second. Then you can talk about some of the other tools.
That's a great question. Why? It applies today. Social Security is actually insurance. It's not an entitlement. It's something that you're paying for, which is an annuity. And a lot of people don't look at Social Security as an annuity. A pension plan was...
My dad used to say, there's a box somewhere and it has my money they've collected through the years. I said, that's not true,
it's
Dad.
It's in the lockbox.
Yeah, it's in the lockbox, exactly.
Right next to the internet formation.
Right, but just private pensions are, I mean, they're annuities. Structural settlements are annuities. And the reason, a lot of times, that, you know, they went out of fashion because people thought that they can get higher returns from, you know, equity products. But with those higher returns comes risk. And so an annuity is a guaranteed way to accumulate wealth. So I look for things.
You
to
just
complete.
Summarized my whole feeling about annuities. I stutter when people ask me about them. I'm not really sure how they are. It's just an insurance product that you buy that somehow pays you a guaranteed sum, right?
It's a guaranteed sum, and so it's kind of hard. You're trying to educate people. You're trying to use different vocabulary to say the same thing until people actually get it. It's a cash flow stream that you cannot outlive, and when coupled with a life insurance policy, just like with long-term care, they're guaranteed. They're guaranteed ways to accumulate wealth, and you know exactly what you're going to get, and you structure them to whereas they keep pace with inflation. So anybody that's selling life insurance or they're selling annuities or they're using these products to solve problems, they're all saying the same thing. It's just different generations. They want a different vernacular as to explaining how they actually work. But
yeah, Tyrone, you mentioned it's guaranteed and it keeps up with inflation. Social Security is not exactly keeping up with inflation. For a number of years, they said zero. The cost of living went up nothing, which is not matching reality. So how are these products, how do they keep up with inflation?
Because what you're looking at is Social Security is a piece of the pie. It's not the entire pie. So just like you have a car, and each one of you have systems on your car, but the car is not going to go very well unless the tires are maintained. So you get a flat, guess what? I don't care how much the car costs. Now it's only as valuable as the tire that you got to replace. So each one of these vehicles, each one of these components are key to your long-term financial objective. And that's where people are missing it. They're looking at one piece of the pie thinking that it's going to satisfy everything. But it's only a component. And once those components come together, just like in your car or your vehicle, it's designed to take you from point A to point B with a certain amount of luxury or comfort.
Okay. All right, before we move on from annuities, is there anything, people have different things in their head about annuity. Is there anything they should be on the watch for in looking out if they are looking at an annuity?
Well, what you want to do is you want to make sure, because you basically got three types of annuities, and you have a fixed annuity, you have an index annuity, and you have what's called variable annuities. And a lot of times it's the variable annuities that cause so many, as far as people looking, as far as fees associated and market volatility, because they were in a variable annuity. Whereas with the fixed annuities and the index annuities, there's a certain amount of they're very conservative. And so you need to realize what product you're actually you're being asked to take a look at, or actually to put your money into, because each one of those products operate very differently. And that's what it goes back to: education, informing yourself with a good advisor, to where they'll sit down and explain to you what the pros and the cons of each one of those investments are based on your situation, and you make a decision based on the risk that you that you'd like to associate with your longevity.
I gotcha. Paul, is that
still not sure I understand? It still seems like a lot of room for confusion. I guess I got to call some expert here. Any in mind here? Anybody you know that sells annuities here?
Well, you can call Tyrone.
go ahead, give your number.
But Tyrone, you know what? You sound like you're speaking French to me, Tyrone French. You know, because I'm still not sure I understand. And I think that's part of what scares people: the complexity of these instruments. And you think you know what you're getting, and then you find out you got something else.
Well, I tell you, again, it goes back to, you can't, in a small session like this, you can't really go into, it's like trying to teach somebody how to cook a cake or bake a cake. And somebody, the baker, has all these years of experience as far as making this cake. And now you got the novice ones to come in, and they want to perform or make the cake the same way the master's been making the cake. And all they can do is explain what the process is and then give you the end product. But if you don't understand what those ingredients are and what they're for and the timing of placing those ingredients in that particular environment, you're going to get lost. So in order to have that same amount of expertise, you have to start that journey. You have to start that process. And you begin to educate yourself, and then those terms become more familiar, and now you can add more terms to what that makes more sense. And eventually, you're now at the head of the class, and you're the instructor.
And Tyrone, how much do you typically find for educating someone, say, from Paul's starting point? How long do you work with somebody and you find it takes them to really understand it?
Doesn't matter. For me, it really doesn't matter. Some people get it within a week. Some people take some months. Some people take 6 months. Some people take 3 years. But they've started that journey. They've started that process.
But in terms of working with people to understand it, that's part of the process. And what you do is, however long it takes, helping them understand it so they get it, and they can they can sleep at night when we started out talking. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? You can have all these things, but if you can't sleep at night, it's not helping.
Exactly. But you got to look at it as far as like a vehicle. If somebody wants to get from Los Angeles to New York and they have to get there in 24 hours, based on that vehicle, you're going to say, well, you can't take the car, you can't take the bus, you can't take the train, so you got to take a plane. So then based on that situation, that scenario, getting there in 24 hours, now you got to take a plane. So which airline am I going to take? So then you narrow it down to the airline, then you purchase a ticket, and then you find yourself in New York. So that's how you find the vehicles as far as,
sure.
What works.
Sure, that makes sense. Hey, Tyrone, we promised the audience we talk about systems. You had mentioned them. And you've had a diverse career. You started out in the Navy. You worked with the big life insurance companies. You work on your own. What have you seen throughout working in those type of different diverse organizations? What's really important and what works? Because that's what Confident ROI is all about, is what tools are working and not working.
Well, what I found, what really turned my business around was a website. And making sure that I had an educational website. People have questions. Like you said, people are staying up at night wondering about their financial situation. So when they go to TyroneFrench.com, there are all kind of educational articles and videos that they can, based on their particular situation, that they can click onto. And it's going to be a short video that's going to explain to them how that particular product works. And then there's a follow-up article that where they can actually download it or they can print it. And now they have something in their hand that they can actually read. So at like maybe 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, I get a phone call. And it's like, hey, we went to your website. I saw the video and I got the article. Now explain to me how this applies to my situation. So it was via the website, which is TyroneFrench.com, and then I have an app. Everybody has a phone, and so in their hand, I make sure that my business is in their hand 24/7. It's Tyrone French app, TyroneFrench.app, and so again, if they're interested in let's say a Roth IRA or a living trust. Or life insurance, universal life, term life. All they have to do is hit a button on that app, and the information is right there.
All right. Paul, I saw you had something you wanted to say.
I just think that is such a cool idea, putting your business in somebody's hands. I never heard anybody describe that. We've got this device with us. Talk about a tool, the smartphone with you 24/7, many of us. You sleep with it. You wake up, and the first thing you look at and talk to is that. Why not put your business in their hands? What a great idea. What a way to look at a website as an educational tool and how to put it into their hands immediately.
It actually exploded my ROI. It went through the roof just by that one simple concept.
Yeah, never heard that. That's my takeaway today.
Well, it's definitely more tactile when you have something in your hand and you can hold it and you can look at it, and can you check your balances and everything as well?
Well, it's not that detailed. You have to go directly to the company to check your balances. But what it does, it gives you a great starting point to where a lot of times you get a phone call from clients saying, hey, I need to call the company. What's the phone number? Well, I don't get those phone calls anymore. All they have to do is tap my app. And the minute someone taps my app, it sends me a text message and an email letting me know that this particular client is trying to get in touch with me.
Tap my app. That's going to be my new takeaway today here.
Yeah, that's what we be careful with that. You get in trouble in the modern day. Don't make me tweet out a me too.
All right. So how do we get in touch with everybody? Then we're going to wrap it up.
I think Tyrone, anything you mentioned your website? Anything else you'd like to mention with the audience?
Well, they can call me directly at my phone number is 877-296-5192. But all of my information is at my website, which is TyroneFrench.com, www.TyroneFrench.com. Or they can download my app. It's a mobile app. It doesn't take up any space in your phone. And that's TyroneFrench.app.
Love it. All right, perfect. We need to get a Confident ROI app. That's the next one here.
Yeah, I need to be able to tap my app. I might take it and make it my own. It's you go to confidentroi.com and you can download a digital version of the magazine or an audio version, as well as sign up for the the print version. We're working on the next issue right now back at the lab. It's coming along.
Get some insurance issues in there, because I think, you know, whether it's health insurance or life insurance or whatever, anything that insures, we live in such an immediate society, we don't think about tomorrow, number one. And the complexity of all these things still boggles my mind here.
Well, and then we deal with all these conventional wisdom, like the 401k, you have to do it.
Yeah,
but
right.
There's clearly something wrong. People aren't using them as what they were designed for. And there's not what people thought there would be in terms of nest eggs. So it's something to re-examine, and we will look into that.
Okay.
Thanks to your suggestion.
All right.
And on Confident ROI, you can also send me a question. But you can also, for this edition of the podcast, we'll be giving away 5 free books.
What?
Yeah, if you go to the Hey Vorobyev button down below.
I'm going to go claim the first 3 right now before anybody gets there.
You know, I can actually tell it's from you.
Oh, okay. All right.
And you can have a free copy.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you can sign up there. Just put in the code RIVER, since we'll be floating down the river soon.
Okay.
And not the 405 river. So put in that at confidentroi.com, and we'll send you out a free copy of the book.
All right. Thank you guys so much. We got to wrap this up. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, and also, whoever goes to TyroneFrench.com today, the first 5 people will actually give them a free copy of my book, Closing the Wealth Gap.
I'm going to get a lot of books today. All right. Thank you guys so much here. Tune in to next week for the next edition of Confident ROI, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.